been blessed to learn many principles of God, many things in the house of God, but there's no place that I've learned more than in the house of God. This house, the church of the living God, everything I know, everything I am, everything I have, my understanding about life, my understanding about family, my understanding about business, all stem from the house of God. Do I got a witness in the house that knows if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, if it had not been for the house of God, I wouldn't know left from right. I wouldn't know up from down. I wouldn't know how to get. The house of God is so wonderful to us, and it's such a blessing, and it's such a wonderful place. I'm so thankful for the knowledge of who God is, and thankful for the house of God. I'm thankful that at 31 years old, I can stand flat-footed in this pulpit and tell you that I've never tasted alcohol before. I've never smoked a cigarette before. I've never tasted a drug before. It's not by my own doing. It was the house of God that taught me the ways of God, that I'm able to walk and do the things of God. Do I got a witness in the house today? But as I begin to grow, and as I begin to learn, and as I begin to apply the principles of God, the house of God started to place things in my hands. You see, as you come to the kingdom of God, you pick up some things. You pick up some principles. Life gets a lot better when you come to the kingdom of God. Can anybody testify to that? And it's not by your intellect, or it's not by your intelligence, or it's not by your wisdom and your good looks, but I'm telling you, make no mistake about it, if it had not been for the Lord who was on your side. Does anybody believe what I'm talking about today? You know that if I wouldn't have stepped foot in the house of God, if I wouldn't have found an apostolic church to go to, I don't know where I would be. I would be lost out there in the world. I'd be drunk out of my mind. I'll be driving with no purpose. I'll be living my life to please everybody else. But I'm thankful for the house of God. Clap your hands right now if you're thankful for the house of God. Make no mistake, the job that you have, the nice house that you have, the clothes that you wear, the beautiful family that God has blessed you with. Let's be clear and understand that it was by the grace and the mercy of God. I don't know where I would be. I think about that often when I pray to God and I thank God for where I am today. I think about, man, where would I be? But then my mind shifts me to the house of God, and I start to get a little more thankful that I'm able to walk into an apostolic church, that I'm able to bring my family to the house of God, that my kids are praising God down here in the front. I'm telling somebody in this house, life does not get any better. You've got to come to the house of the Lord in order to establish your life in the way that it should be established. But as life goes on, we begin to accumulate more stuff. And sometimes we get off track with how to prioritize things of ultimate concern. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And we have sought the kingdom of God, but we have to figure out the things that are added to us. I'm talking about when you pray for the job and God gives it to you, and when you pray for the blessing in your finances and God gives it to you, and when you pray for the spouse and God gives it to you, and when you start to pray that God's kingdom first, and then God starts adding these things to us. The text that I read in your hearing is a familiar text. And oftentimes, as we approach this text, there is a distinction in how we read it apart from the other stories in the Word of God. He isn't given a name in Scripture. We just know him as the rich young ruler. Mark tells us that he was rich. Matthew tells us that he was young. And Luke tells us that he was a ruler. And as we approach this text, we have to be careful in that we don't disqualify ourselves from the responsibility of the text because of one word. Rich. Well, I don't have a Mercedes in my driveway, and I don't have a Ferrari sitting out front of my house, and I don't have a big house in Greystone, But I'm talking to some real people today, and you drive your Honda Accord, and you love your Honda Accord. God gave you that Honda Accord, and you ought to be proud if you drive a Honda Accord today. But you fill in the blank of what you think a rich person might have. But the Bible says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. And I want to tell you that you don't have the luxury of disqualifying yourself from the passage that we're dealing with tonight. Jesus is so intentional about his words. He doesn't waste words. Everything that's in the word of God is there for a reason. And everything about the word of God you can apply to your life. And you can figure out how you can fit in the narrative of the word of God. The Bible says that Jesus was in the way. Some people would say that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And the Bible says that one came running to him. And he says to him, "Good master, what can I do to inherit eternal life?" And he says, "Why do you call me good? There's none good but one." And he said, "But you know the commandments. Don't commit adultery. Don't kill. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother." And he says, "Jesus, you know, I've been observing these things since my youth, and I've been doing all of these things since I was growing up, all the way to now." The Bible says that Jesus observed him. The Bible says that Jesus loved him. And the Bible talks about Jesus and how he starts taking inventory of his life and how he starts looking him up and down and starts to try to figure out all of the things that's going on in this young man's life. And the young man is standing there, and he's hoping that God doesn't see what he's got in his hand. And he's hoping that God doesn't require something more of him. But Jesus said, "You've done good, but there's one thing that you lack." And standing there in that moment, the young man is racking his mind about what it can be. Racking his mind about the untouchables in his life. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? God, don't touch my children. God, don't touch my finances. God, don't touch my house. God, don't touch my car that I drive. And he's thinking about what God could say that he lacks. And Jesus says to him, he says, "There's one thing that you lack." He said, "Go, take what you have. Sell it." He said, "Sell it all and give to the poor." And then he tells him, he says, "Take up your cross and follow after me." And the young man is standing there, stuff in his hands, all these things in his hands. He's trying to figure out this negotiation that's happening in front of him. He's trying to figure out this great exchange. Am I going to exchange the kingdom of God for my own kingdom? Am I going to keep on walking in the way that I'm walking? Or am I going to answer the call for the invitation to be a disciple? And he's standing there, racking his brain about this back and forth in his mind. And I don't know how much time he stood there. The Bible doesn't say. But I can imagine that he counted the cost. And he's wondering, am I going to don a present cross in exchange for a future crown? Am I going to have my cake and eat it too? Am I going to live this life for myself when God is calling me to discipleship? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Am I going to stand here, bags in hand, life in hand, and God is requiring this of me, and God is asking for my time, and God is asking for my attention, but I got to weigh this out? And God places the ball in his court. The Bible says that Jesus observed him. The Bible says that Jesus loved him. This was a man that he said he kept the commandments from his youth up. This was somebody that was in tune with the word of God. This was somebody that has done good things in his life. He's put himself in a good position, but right now God has put his feet to the fire. Are you going to continue to walk in the way that you want to walk, or are you going to give it all up at an apostolic altar? And he He's standing there debating on what he should do. My God, when I read this story, it grips me because I can see the moment where he's standing there facing Jesus and he's got his bags in his hand and he's wondering what he's going to do. And I can see him facing Jesus and I can see him wondering his next step, what his next step was going to be. And I can see him with bags in hand, with life in hand, with riches in hand, with all of the things that he has that he's not willing to give to God, I can see him turn his back on his Savior. You see, the stuff was more important to the rich young ruler. And the things that he had and the things that he acquired was way more important to the rich young ruler than the things of God. We've got to get to a place in our lives where we've got to stand up in the house of God. I know you've been coming to church on Wednesday night. I know you've been coming to church on Sunday, and God loves that. But God is requiring more tonight in this house. We don't have time to qualify. We don't have time to pick apart each person in this house situation, but those under the sound of my voice know what it is in your life that God is asking of you. And you've got to search yourself tonight, and you've got to dig deep, and you've got to say, God, I know this thing was an untouchable, but God, whatever I have, whatever I am, God, you can have it. God, I'll give you my life. Earthly possessions versus treasure in heaven is his kingdom or God's kingdom. Not many people got the invitation to be a disciple. This is a special invitation. This is an invitation that he knows that the cost is not just a little cost. He understands that the cost of discipleship is everything. Everything. Everything I am, everything I love, everything I think I need, God, I lay it on an altar. And he understands this in this moment. And the gravity of this situation is I'm watching the disciples and I'm watching them walk with Jesus. And they've left everything and followed after him. But that's not an easy thing. Sounds so easy, and we ridicule the rich young ruler. And we look at him and we analyze this story, and we're looking at him and we're in the back of the room and we're holding our hand up and we're shaking our head and we're saying, don't do it. You've got to follow Jesus. But this story falls in our lap tonight. And it may not be a call to full-time ministry or whatever calls that people always talk about, but you know what it is in this house. You've got to search yourself, and you've got to come to an altar tonight, and you've got to say, God, you can use me. God, you can have my hands. God, you can have my feet. God, you can have my life. Somebody clap your hands all over this house. Told him to take up his cross. You see, in order to take up the cross, you've got to have empty hands. Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whatsoever will come after me, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. He that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. And the call, embracing the call, requires separation. God wants to separate you from your will. God wants to separate you from your way of thinking. God wants to separate you from your framing. God wants to separate you from your family. It's a call to disconnect. It's a call to untether. It's a call to cut the proverbial umbilical cord. It's a call to leave the house of the familiar. It's a call to untether from father. It's a call to untether from mother. It's a call to untether from sister and brother. And that house that you live in and that car that you drive, you've got to separate yourself. You've got to separate yourself unto God. You've got to separate yourself into the call of God, whatever that may be in your life. And we're not going to qualify tonight. Whatever that may be in your life, you know what I'm talking about. At some point and at some juncture in life, God requires something of you. And God requires you to separate and to pull away from everything that you've ever known. When you come to the house of God and it's your first time here, your whole family is going to try to drag you out of the house of God. But anything that's trying to pull you away from the house of God and the things of God, you've got to separate yourself from all of that stuff. You've got to separate yourself from low expectation. You've got to separate yourself from small thinking. You've got to separate yourself unto the purpose and the plan of God. There comes a point in time when you got to make a decision. And you got to figure out which way you're going to go. And you got to figure out if you're just going to come to church and play the part or if you're going to get into this thing hook, line, and sinker. If you're going to give everything that you've got to the kingdom of God. God, I give you my money. God, I give you my children. God, I give you my business. Everything that I own, oh God, you can have it. It's a moment of reconciliation to your purpose for what God has called you to. And in that moment, everything in you is going to want to keep everything the same way that it's always been. And everything in you is not going to want to press into the things of God on the level that you need to. But the book of Preachers, what level would you like to play? And God puts the ball in our court. And he expects us to make a decision about how we want to live our life. If we're going to buy his kingdom or if we're going to continue to build up and buy our kingdom. I'm preaching to somebody in the house of God. It's time to stop building your kingdom. It's time for you to start building the kingdom of God. It's time for you to get to the house of God. It's time for you to get in the book. It's time for you to sing the songs again. My God, there's a call in this house. And God expects you to make a decision because God won't force us to do it. You have to surrender your will. You have to have a Gethsemane moment. You've got to stand there and say, Lord, if it's your will, let this cup pass from me. And then you've got to say, but nevertheless, there's a higher calling. Nevertheless, there's a higher purpose. Nevertheless, there's a higher kingdom. You've got to choose which kingdom you're going to buy because it costs everything. Whether you choose God's kingdom or not, it costs everything. And so you've got to analyze your life and we've got to analyze our lives and we've got to see, God, what are you requiring of me? God, whatever you ask of me. And that's a tough prayer to pray. And don't pray it if you don't mean it. So you gotta figure out which way you want to go. And you've got to pray to God. God, whatever you need of me. God, whatever you ask of me. God, send me, I'll go. Whatever you need. If you need somebody to teach a Bible study, God, I'll teach a Bible study. If you need somebody to turn the lights on, God, I'll turn the lights on. God, if you just need me to wake up a little bit earlier to get to church to pray, God, I'll wake up a little bit earlier. My God. It takes sacrifice. It takes having an altar, like Brother Sutton talks about, having an altar big enough for everything in your life to go on. You have to be able to say, God, I give you my time. God, I give you my family. God, I give you my will. God, everything about my being. God, I'll bring it to the house of God. Like Hannah, who said, God, if you just hear my cry. God, if you just hear my cry. If you give me a little boy, I'll bring him back to the house of God. And Brother Sutton talked about how you've got to follow through on your promises. And you need to follow through on whatever promise in your life that you made from God. Today is the day to go pick it up. Today is the day to say, God, I know I slacked a little bit on that. that. But thank God for another day. Thank God for another moment. Thank God for another season. God, I'll get it right. God, I'll give you my all. God, I'll do it. It's Hannah who brings that boy after all of those years of going to the house of God and coming back empty, and going to the house of God and coming home empty. She got fed up in her spirit, and she made a vow to God. And she said, if you hear my cry, if you give me a man child, I'll bring him back to you all the days of his life. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how long God wants to keep the gift that you give him. Just be willing to give it. Just be willing to say, God, I'll bring it back to the house. I'm not going to put a time frame on how long you can keep it, but I'm going to bring it back to the house of God so that it can grow up in the house of the Lord. Abraham, you're going to have a baby. You're going to have a baby in your old age. I'm going to give you a child. It's going to be a promised child. And I'm going to bless you with this child. And through him and through you, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. In 25 years, year after year of waiting and wondering and just questioning whether God's going to do what God said he was going to do, he gets the promised child, Isaac. And the Bible says that God came and spoke to him. And he said, I want you to take your son, your only son, and I want you to sacrifice him. Come on, God, what are you talking about? You're talking about the child that I prayed for. You're talking about the child that you blessed me with. You're talking about the blessings of God that I have in my hands. I'm talking about being blessed of God. I'm talking about coming to the house of God and receiving blessings in your finances and blessings on your job and blessings all around you and having these things in hand. And when God asks for them back, we've got to be willing to hand them back over to God. We've got to be willing to say, God, you can use it. God, it's not even mine anyway. I'm just borrowing this. I'm just borrowing this family that you gave me. I'm just borrowing and trying to be the best steward that I can be for these children that you gave me. I'm just borrowing this money that I got in my pocket. I'm just borrowing this house. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And he goes and he makes his way up the hill and he lays his son now. This is difficult. This is not an easy task. Lays his son on an altar, expecting to follow through on what God had told him to do. But every time you open up your hands to God and you empty your hands, you can bet your last dollar that God's going to give you something back. That God's going to give it back. The Bible says 100-fold. Verse 28, he talks about any man that loses mother, father, sister, brother, lands, all of these things is going to give it back 100-fold. There's provision for people that open their hands. There's provision for people that get rid of all the stuff that God requires you to get rid of. There is provision in the word of God. Don't get weary in well-doing. You just keep on pushing. You just keep on bringing the gift back to the house of God. When you make that money, bring it back to the house of God. When you get that job, come back to the house of God and say, God, what can I do for your kingdom? And God's going to give it back. And God's going to give it back 100-fold. And you won't even be able to understand it at first. And you won't understand what God's doing behind the scenes. But God is working it out for your good. And God is trying to teach you some stuff. And God is just wanting to see, Randy, will you give it back to me? Do you love me enough where you're going to give your family back to me? Do you love me enough where you're going to give all of that money that I gave you back to me? Do you love it? Do you love me enough that you're going to bring your life as a living sacrifice and lay it down on an altar and say, God, whatever you ask of me, God, whatever you need of me. If that's your prayer, clap your hands all over this house right now. My God, my God. So everybody has to come to this crossroads, this fork in the ground where the rich young ruler was, where he's trying to make a decision. And I know he's rich. I understand that. but everybody's got something in their life. What is God saying? There's one thing you lack about in your life. What is God asking of us tonight? What is God asking of you? What has God been talking to you about that he's asking of you and that he's requiring? That's not just an untouchable, because everything that belongs to me belongs to him. I need somebody to get an attitude about that right now. Everything that belongs to me is only by the grace and the mercy of God that I received it. And it's by the hands of God. And I'm going to bring it back to the house of God. Oh, clap your hands all over this house right now. Somebody give God a great praise in this place right now. My God. Jesus. It's total surrender of your will. It's total surrender of your plans. It's total surrender of your dreams. It's total surrender of your life. Psalms chapter 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who had not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and the righteous from the God of his salvation. And Strong's, if you look up the word clean in that text, it means free and it means bare. And so the Bible says, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath bare hands, or he that hath free hands and a pure heart. You've got to be clean, but your hands has got to be free in order to ascend the hill of the Lord. I'm looking for somebody in this house that's willing to free your hands, that's willing to empty your hands, that's willing to say, if you can use anything, God, you can use me. Take my hands, God. Take my feet, oh God. Take me where you want me to go. He's looking for free hands. He's looking for bare hands. He's looking for unoccupied hands. He's looking for empty hands. If they come to the music, I'm done preaching. Mighty God, mighty God. Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us. Help us, oh God. Help us, oh God, in this place, oh God. Mighty God. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. God gives where he finds empty hands. God will never leave you empty. He will replace everything that you lost. If he asks you to put something down, it's because he wants you to pick up something greater. God is intentional. And when God asks something of you, he knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly what his plan is. I know you might not be able to see it, but God is working something out that you will never be able to comprehend or understand. God is working for your good. I talked about it before, but we've got to be careful not to just sit by and crucify the rich young ruler. And today I'm attempting to snatch this story from the pages of the Word of God and place it on 400 Roebuck Parkway in this sanctuary. And God is asking some questions. Brianna, if you'll come and sing. God is asking some questions tonight. He's asking for your hands. He's asking for your fear. He's asking for your dysfunction. He's asking for your depression. God is asking for your life. I know there are people here that might say, I don't have anything good in my life. And you've been bound by depression, and you've been bound by fear, and you've been bound by your past. But that question is for you tonight. Will you stand and will you empty your hands? Will you let God take the fear? Will you let God take the doubt? Will you let God take the depression? Will you let God take everything that's holding you back from the things of God. Stand all over this house with me. My God, my God. It's surrender. It's giving everything up to God. It's the woman with two mites. It's the woman that doesn't have a lot, but she gives everything that she has to the things of God. I wonder in this house right now, is there anybody that's willing to empty your hands tonight? Is there anybody that's willing to come and lay it down at an apostolic altar? I'm telling somebody in this house, freedom is in this house right now. Deliverance is in this house. I don't know what you need from God, but you can find it here in the house of the Lord. Right now in this house, come down to the altar if you believe what I'm preaching, and if you feel like God is requiring some more things of you, and you want to lay those things down at God's feet tonight, just come on down to the altar. Let's pray together all over this house as they begin to sing. Mighty God, we love you, Jesus.
When we have a work to do and the task ahead seems bigger than you, that's when he steps in. When you know in your heart that God's command,
that's it. Somebody press on in right now.
Can be
press on
done
into those prayers
men.
Right now.
That's when he steps in. He sees you at the point of your need. He sees you at the point. And in the moment you call, and when you give him your all, he steps in. He steps in.
That's it. There's a call in this house right now. Somebody cry out to him right now.
What's that you have in your hand? 'Cause I can use it. If you're willing to lose it, I'll take the little you have and I'll make it grand. 'Cause I am El Shaddai and I'll more than supply your needs. And he'll say, what's that you have?
Come on, somebody press on in right now. God's moving in this house. God's asking some questions tonight. Somebody respond to the word of God right now. Somebody respond to the voice of God in your life right now. Somebody respond to that thing, oh God, that you've been holding for a long time. Somebody lay down depression. Somebody lay down doubt. Somebody lay down fear right now.
And I'll more than supply your need. Oh, I'll supply your need. to you.
Praise God. Encourage. encourage somebody before you leave the house of the Lord.